Hello everyone, welcome to Archant Towers here in the centre of Norwich. I'm Michael Bailey and with Paddy Davitt as always, fresh from our trip to Colney this lunchtime. Now, you may have heard there's quite a big football game on
this weekend,
so we've been preoccupying ourselves with that down Colney way. You can actually hear what Daniel Farker and Ivo Pinto had to say, or the choice bits, over at the Pinken YouTube channel already, which is youtube.com/thepinken channel. But we're here to take you through some of the finer points and also give our views on what was said. So, yeah, but I mean, first of all, Pad, how are you feeling going into the big one? Now, of course, we don't have to run around, but still, it tends to be quite a frenetic occasion in the build-up and all sorts.
Yeah, no, it's been fairly busy, fueled by a certain Portuguese international striker and the bites he's had from across the Waveney. So, yeah, as always, these things feel like a long build-up, and then sometimes the game doesn't live up to expectations, certainly in the last two renewals. Not sure whether this one's going to be any different, to be honest. I think looks a very even type of affair in store. I can see both teams maybe cancelling each other out. I don't think it's going to be a classic, so you know, the fireworks, we may have already had them, unfortunately.
Oh, Pat, I was hoping you were going to get caught up in the rhetoric.
You know me better than that one.
That's true, yeah, that is
so
true.
You never know, do you? I mean, McCarthy's had his presser this afternoon. He's been typically forthright about Oliveira's comments, which, not that we didn't suspect for one moment, but I'm sure that's been used as motivational fuel. So, you know, I liked the tone from Messrs. Farker and Pinto today. I thought it was very calm and very measured. Obviously, they had their say on various elements of the build-up, but if that's symptomatic of how they're approaching it inside the camp, then I'm happy to see that, because I don't think they're going to get caught up in the occasional carried away. And spoke to Danny Higginbottom yesterday, and that's the thing that resonated with me, is that these games are won and lost by players going out and doing things they wouldn't normally do because they get caught up in the hype of it. They make mistakes that they wouldn't make any other week of the football season, and then it's the ones who can basically treat it on its own merits. Don't get caught up in the hype, leave that to the fans, and they're the ones who normally prevail, and the results since our own 9 tell you Norwich have been able to do that better than Ipswich.
Yeah, it was still quite focused, wasn't it, while they were talking about the derby and they were playing it down and staying calm. You could tell there was a focus in there in what they were saying. Yeah. I must correct what I said earlier, which is that Mick would not pin up Nelson Oliveira's quotes on the wall, but he might pin himself up, which I think was something you directly said, not Stuart.
I did, yeah, but to be honest though, you were half right, because I said it in relation to, if that had been a Norwich manager and then I picked out Paul Lambert, I would have thought he probably would have gone down that route in terms of pinning Oliveira up, what have you done sort of thing. So Farker clearly hasn't adopted that approach. I mean,
he hasn't pinned Nelson up on the wall,
accounts. I mean, I thought he was good, because he placed both him and Pinto placed it in the context of, I mean, you were obviously there, mate, after the game against Hull, but a guy who was absolutely flying, you know, 10-15 minutes earlier, he's salvaging a draw in pretty dramatic fashion with an excellent individual goal, and you know, he was probably still a bit hyper and maybe a little bit carried away with what he said. The emotion was coursing through his veins, and you know, clearly he's been asked about the derby and he's given an honest response. But for me, I like Pinto's line on that. He basically said better team. He feels they are the better team, not the better club. That's a different debate. That gets into what we've been into over the last few days about whether history outranks current sort of history, stars and what have you on shirts. But the better team, Pinto feels they're the better team. That's what Nelson himself feels, that's what Daniel Farker feels, because as he says, if not, he wouldn't want to be at Norwich, he'd rather be at Ipswich. So it's about proving that on the pitch on Sunday. That's what Ivo said, and yeah, I'd like to think both sets of players will know, take it for what it is in the build up and put that to one side, and then phony war will end midday Sunday, and then we'll see who the better team is.
Yes, quite. Get your questions in, tell us where you're watching from, and we'll go through them in a tick. I mean, I asked Ivo about what Nelson said, and I did mention about what Luke Chambers had said, because he seemed to take it on a little bit in terms of maybe being quite... I mean, they were quite derogatory comments, I thought, of Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, not for me, with what he said, it wasn't so much about the stars on badges. It was more about Oliveira and his experiences of Oliveira on the pitch, and a guy has always too much to say for himself in Chambers' view. So if those two have to tussle, given it's entirely possible they will come up against each other, then that'll be an interesting dynamic within the overall plot.
Well, we know what the subplots are, don't we, going into it, so when we're watching the game we'll all know if people start needling, we'll know maybe why. Ollie Baines has been in touch with a pertinent question: who do we think will start up top, Cam or Nelson, which did get asked by I think I asked Daniel whether, I mean, clearly both players bring different things. I mean, yeah. I'm convinced that it'll be Cam that starts on Saturday. And I mean, it's fair to say that Daniel did also say that Nelson is still feeling his groin slightly in training, which seems a bit of a shame.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's Jerome all day long because, yeah, for reasons already stated, I don't think so much about the verbals. I don't think that would have too much of a bearing on Daniel Farke's team selection, but certainly that ongoing issue with his groin, and in a game of this magnitude for both clubs, you need to go with tried and trusted and limit the variables where possible. And you play Oliveira from the start Sunday, 20 minutes gone, the groin goes again, he's off the park, and your plans are to a degree out the window. So I think it'll be Jerome, and to be honest, it would be tough on Jerome for me to pull him out in recent weeks. Okay, you will have the periodical debate about his goal output maybe, but you cannot underestimate the role that he has had in the turnaround. Yes, Madison's been excellent. Yes, Tim Close coming back in. Yes, Alex Tete. But throw Jerome in there as well, because what he's offered them, the way they've had to play, going to the Sheffield United, to the Middlesbroughs, where they're on the back foot, they need an outlet, they need the ball to stick and help get players up the pitch. All of those reasons, he's been excellent of late. And I would think he would start with Jerome, and then as the game opens up, and if heaven forbid Norwich need to salvage something, then you've got a guy there who's got a goal threat all day long. So I'd be very, very surprised if Oliveira gets the nod over Jerome.
Chris Jennings asks, Chambers who? ? Continuing the bants there. What did you make of what Daniel had to say about the derby? I know you sort of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I mean, it seems like there's a little bit of relish in his eyes. He's quite good at sort of smiling while saying something that could be construed as a bit of a nibble, but he's quite disarmingly charming, isn't he, when he says these things?
Well, I think the one today was when I asked him about the record going back to 2009 and whether that's a factor. What does it say about this sort of rivalry? And there was a little jibe about, well, we have been in the Premier League for a few years, so they've not always been in the same league, which, given they've dwelt in the second tier for, was it 16 years and counting?
16 years, yeah.
That could be taken for what it probably was meant to be, which is just a little reminder. You know, two clubs who, at various stages in the last sort of 15 years or so, have inhabited different leagues. So, yeah, I mean, we don't need to worry about the guy's passion. Let's just go back to 96th minutes on the clock at Hull against Hull last Saturday, and you know, an admonishment from the official for encroaching. We've seen some great pictures of his celebrations. That is a passionate manager, and make no mistake. And you know, while wanting to detach maybe the emotional side of it from the build-up, I'm sure just before they go out, he'll be reminding those players what this game means to the supporters and to him. And I think you will see that. But as I say, at risk of repeating myself, these games are won and lost on who doesn't get caught up in the hype in terms of the players and the coaching staff. And who can basically implement a game plan without that kind of emotional sort of baggage that comes with it. That's how derbies are won and lost.
Yeah, it is indeed. It's interesting. I thought Daniel Farcourt, when Peter Layton asked him about him being a hero as much as the fans if it goes well on Sunday, and he mentioned a few different things, one including whether he had his coat on or off. So all these things that the fans are talking about on social media, they seem to be trickling through to him. His Parker finally got a mention in by himself by Daniel in the press conference. So there you go. I'm sure the club will have a line of Daniel Farke Parkers in the club shop before we know it. Ricky Barza ask, why can't Ipswich sell out their home ground when it's a derby game? I mean, that's probably a question for the EAGT Facebook Live. Yeah, I'll do it at some point.
I did see something near, was it yesterday, that they've gone past 26,000, but I think it holds about 31, doesn't it? So it wasn't sold out for this fixture last season. It's a shame they can't increase the allocation, because I'm pretty sure that Norwich would take more than 2,000 if they were allowed to take more than 2,000. Yeah, it's a strange one for me, that. You know, okay, we know all the sort of the backstory about 15, 16 years and the upper fee that is there and the style of play that McCarthy wants to implement, although apparently there's been some sort of refinement. Not convinced about that, as the ball gets smashed over James Maddison's head from Bielkowski. But, you know, ultimately, if there is a bit of disenchantment, then that probably is going to filter through into the crowd, you know, in terms of the crowd size. But, you know, I know one thing, that when they come over the border in February, is it March time, there won't be a seat to be had at Carr Road.
No, that's exactly spot on. Let's have some more of these questions, shall we? Matthew Bryant is tipping Yannick to show why we paid around £7 million for him on Sunday. It wasn't really £7 million, but it was enough money for him to try and hopefully justify it on Sunday. Do you think he'll start?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, we should add Josh is fit enough to be on the bench, I think. Yeah. Daniel said, didn't he? So he won't be available to start on Sunday.
That's a big area for me now in terms of the five, the midfield, for how he sees it. Because he said himself today, he said it, I think, on the club's YouTube channel yesterday, it's about winning 1v1 duels. He's talked about the aggressive nature of Ipswich's play, the physicality and the intensity. Can he pick a midfield that can handle that? Because there's no doubt they've got a lot of technical players. Have they got enough of that type? Bearing in mind Tetti isn't available. He's still out with a calf injury. Because I think they're going to have to be good in that facet of the game before they hopefully bring their greater quality to bear. So in that regard, you would say Wiltshire physically, he's a big powerful unit, that he does offer that, as opposed to maybe Mario. But then, you know, I think you're going to need a little bit of a mix of both facets, really, for me in the midfield. And I'll be honest, that's a concern for me, because I think if they get overpowered physically in the centre of the park, then that's going to put a lot of pressure on Angus Gunn and the back four.
Because again, I asked him about Harrison Reid, and he seemed pretty happy with how Harrison played on Saturday, and he did okay, but they didn't, you know, clearly didn't look as defensively solid and through the middle of the park necessarily.
And let's be brutally honest, I mean, the way I saw that game against Hull was, you know, after a very bright 10 or 15 minutes where Norwich probably could and should have gone ahead, I thought Huddersfield, Hull's midfield bossed that, up until the point maybe when Myler got himself stupidly sent off around about the hour mark. I just thought they were bigger, stronger, a bit more streetwise, and as a result, you know, Norwich weren't really functioning as an attacking force, albeit, you know, Hull weren't exactly carving them open. But it felt to me, watching that game, that from about the 15-20 minute mark, that Hull's midfield got on top, and you wouldn't want that to happen on Sunday.
No, absolutely not. Sue Cassidy, she says she'll be watching from Portaloo Road. Well, enjoy it, Sue. Stay safe. Don't want any trouble on Sunday, please. Have some fun. Have a bit of rivalry, but don't get into and do anything silly. That's me preaching there. Sorry about that. Callum Smith, really hope we win on Sunday. Absolutely. Whichever have we got? Richie Temple, James Husband to keep his place, or Marco Stieperman if fit? Well, Marco Stieperman is fit.
Yeah, I think that's a big call. Yeah, I think he, for reasons just stated, you know, he needs to inject a bit of physicality into that midfield, and Stieperman would offer him that. If he's trained all week, I think he'll play. Now the question is whether he plays in midfield or whether he plays in as opposed to Husband. I'd personally like to keep Husband in, because I think he seems to have, you know, in the recent games, I feel his performances have improved, you know, both with and without the ball. And why tinker with a back four, which, okay, they were a bit lax for Hall's opening goal, but that aside, they've been very solid and very cohesive for me. So if you don't need to, in terms of injury suspension, why tinker with that back four? So for me, Stieperman comes into a Norwich midfield, but who then dips out, it's a difficult one. As you said, you might think maybe that means Reid misses out, or if you keep Reid and Tribal together, then it's one of the three in front, and now he's not going to take Maddison out, so it's either Wiltshire or possibly Rancic. But I just think this is the type of game where they're going to need a bit of grunt, basically, and Stapleman would offer them that.
I like that, a bit of grunt. Simon Reynolds Leigh, thank you for the kind words about my beard. If you really want to keep it, then there's a Just Giving page for the Community Sports Foundation. I think at the end of this month it could be saved for the rest of the year or shaved off. So there we go, that's what I'm going to say about my beard. Let's have a look. Joe Self, should we start Wes? I agree, if we take the emotion out of it, I really fancy us away from home and think we could put a few past them, Joe. What's a few past them?
Yeah.
1-0, surely. But, Wes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been tended to start on the right, hasn't he, under Daniel, when he's played him. Did he start at Reading? I have a feeling.
Maybe it was Josh. I think he did.
Can't remember. But
I think both of them played, didn't they, at Reading? Hmm. Yeah. I think, in fact, they were the wider players of Madison, with Tete and Tribal behind, weren't they?
That sounds right, I think so, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, he likes a derby, doesn't he? You know, there's plenty of derbies down the years where he's had a positive influence. I'm just not sure, as I say, Portman Road. We all know what you're going to get from an Ipswich team, certainly in the first 20-25 minutes. How much time would he have to get the ball down and get his head up and look to pick a pass? I think the reality is it's going to be pretty frenetic in that first quarter of the game. And Norwich will need to be solid, as they have been at Sheffield, as they have been at Borough, Reading, you know, you name it, of late. And for me, Madison's a no-brainer. Madison has to be one of, if not the first names on that team sheet. So if you play Madison, do you play Wes? Don't see it.
I was going to ask the question, I forgot, and then Pete Layton did, about the protection of James Madison, because I quite like this, because I think, as we sort of watched, he kind of got kicked to the floor, basically, at Hull. Reading kind of did something similar, to be honest, and his poor Achilles, they're getting quite a bit battering at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Robinson, actually, the referee, I know you think I've got something in for referees at the moment, but Tim Robinson's the referee, he was a referee at Reading as well, and kind of let a few things go.
He did.
You know, you'd kind of want James Madison to be protected. I know it doesn't quite work like that, though.
No, that's, you know, there does seem to be a theme now developing, or a pattern, sorry, developing, of teams who have worked out fairly obviously that you stop Madison, maybe you disrupt and maybe fracture Norwich's creative intent, because so much of Norwich's good play in the final third is going through that young man, you know, in terms of goals and assists. So if you're an opposition manager, Mick McCarthy, for example, why wouldn't you think, or why wouldn't you tell your midfielders, get around him, kick him up in the air a few times, play the referee at that, you know, don't do what Myler did and went the other way, albeit his second yellow was for hauling down Wiltshire, but, you know, he basically burnt his bridges with the official, because there'd been two or three incidences, mainly on Madison, in the first hour of that game. But yeah, I think there seems to be a pretty much, I wouldn't use the word campaign, but you know, a growing sense that there's a young man who's making some waves, and opposition teams know they have to get around him and do whatever they can within, not even within legal means, within getting away from the officials. Yeah, sadly, that's the nature of the game, you know. But Norwich must know that, but that's why, as I say, at the risk of labouring the point, they need to be physical themselves, yeah, and fight a little bit with fire in that middle part of the pitch.
Well, let's just rattle through a couple of these briefly. James Entwistle, could Stapleman start somewhere in the midfield? And I guess by that he means in the holding two. Would you want to see him there?
I don't think we've seen him in that role, have we? In the holding role. But he's such a versatile footballer, you know. I mean, he came with this badge that he could play left anywhere down the left. He could even, I think Farker even said he could play in the 10 role, and yeah, we haven't seen that. So potentially he could play it. He seems a very accomplished, experienced operator. But I think for me personally, it'd be maybe one further forward, possibly in front of Husband, I think.
Who would be your three behind the striker? Who would you pick?
Well, Stapleman, Madison, and then, yeah, you'd probably, maybe Yannick or Wes. Well, you can't really, yeah, probably Yannick to start with, if clearly Josh isn't really in the mix to start the game. You know, that'd give you plenty of physicality in the wider areas, and obviously if Norwich have found themselves pinned back, you put the ball over the top and Yannick's away, isn't he? So yeah, I think I'd go with those three, mate. What about you?
Brilliant. Yeah, I think I would, because I quite like the pace of Yannick going forward. I think that served them quite well away from home, say at Sheffield United, I think he played it. Did he come on at Reading? Like, yeah, he came on at Reading, didn't he? So Yeah, that's probably what I'll go for.
Yeah.
But probably a bit harsh on Mario, given what I wrote at the weekend. Let's have a look at one here, shall we, as well, from Stuart Cousins. Do you think the gaffer knows the importance of this game for the Norwich fans? And will he play the best team he has? Well, I think even though Arsenal's in 48 hours later, he'll definitely play the best team he's got. And he gets it, doesn't he? I think there'll be some... And the problem is, if Norwich lose, people will be accusing them of not getting it. But it's not that straightforward, is it? They know what they're dealing with in terms of a derby.
Yeah, I mean, he's referenced the old Dortmund-Schalke derby quite often in the build-up. You know, I actually put that point to him, like, this is his first experience of the derby, the East Anglian derby. There's quite a lot of, well, all the lads he brought in the summer fall in the same category. And you contrast that with plenty of the Ipswich ranks who know what it's all about. Is that going to be a factor? Well, we'll only probably know that, you know, after 90 minutes on Sunday. But he certainly gets it. You know, he said this week, pretty much everybody who's ever had a conversation with him have talked about one thing and one thing only. So, and as I say, I'll go back to, there's a manager, final whistle against Hull, showed what it means to him to try and win games for Norwich. So, and that's Hull. Ipswich, he'll know what it's all about, and if he doesn't, he'll find out pretty quickly, I'd imagine, at Portman Road, because it's going to be quite a spicy occasion, I think.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. Sue Cassidy, she says she spoke to Tim Closer on Saturday. Well done, Sue. And he said he's told all the newbies how much it means.
Good man.
So there you go. I hope you didn't tell him how much he got beaten around in the first
Darryl
part
Murphy,
of the derby
yeah.
at Portman Road last year. God, it was Daryl Mercer, wasn't
Murphy,
it?
Yeah.
He was only playing at Ipswich back then. There we go. Just one point I wanted to mention. I mean, Daniel Farker did say he's expecting Ipswich to press them quite high on Sunday. They're not going to be inviting them on. Does that help Norwich out if they do that a little bit?
Yeah, well...
I suppose we've got the Millwall situation where it really didn't,
no.
because it forced them into hitting it long.
Yeah.
Likewise, Sheffield United, Norwich were able to...
Because he's obviously had to go a lot more pragmatic following Millwall in terms of he's changed the formation, he's changed some personnel, he's got some lads back fit and available, like Closer. I don't think there's been too, as you say, Millwall was a prime example, and one or two of those are pre-Millwall games where some of the Carrow games, now I think about it, where, you know, the ball would be getting popped back to Angus Gunn on the edge of his box, and then he'd be playing out to his fullback, who'd play it square, and you could palpably sense the panic almost in the terraces and maybe on the pitch as well, because they're trying to get the grips of it. I don't think we've seen too much of that since Millwall. I don't think Norwich are playing that way. I don't think Gunn is getting the ball and then immediately looking to roll it 10 yards into his centre-backs. I think they're far more pragmatic. So if Ipswich are going to adopt that policy, I think that's something Norwich would be able to handle, in all honesty. If it was the Norwich of the first month or so of the season and Ipswich were trying to do that, then you might be a little bit fearful of a dangerous turnover in the final third. But yeah, if they go that route, then I'd be quite relaxed about that.
I maintain we should all be very thankful this fixture didn't take place in August like last season. In my personal opinion, Stuart Cousins, finally, are Arsenal beatable?
Arsenal beatable. Every team's beatable, mate.
Every team's beatable, Stuart. There you go. Right, we're going to wrap this up then. Thanks, everyone, for watching. As I said, you can hear loads from Daniel Farker and Ivo Pinto on the Pinken YouTube channel, and check in at pinken.com, where there'll be loads of build-up to the game. And should we do predictions? You've written one in the paper.
Yeah.
All I've said is I don't think it'll be 1-1.
Okay, well, I think
really
it will
break.
Be
do
draw.
You, do you?
Not maybe 1-1. I think maybe 2-2, yeah. proper fence sitting, but so you don't think it's going to be? Do you think it could be a draw?
No, I don't think it'll be a draw.
You don't think it'll be a draw?
No.
Well, Ipswich haven't drawn a game all season.
No.
So whether that means this is the first one of the season, but
maybe.
And Norwich will win 4 away. So,
given my predictions record in all sorts of sports, get your money on the draw. I think I'm talking it up. Cheers, Bad. Thanks very much. Thanks for all your comments and questions. Really appreciate them. As I said, pinken.com is the place before, during, and of course after the derby for your Norwich City fix. We'll see you at Portman Road.